I've been here before. I've seen death before. Seen Jesus crucified, Stephen stoned, and now James beheaded. I flinched as the sword came down, as the crowds cheered. Flinched as they grabbed and pulled me here to this prison, closed the doors. But now I've settled in. The chains rub my wrists, they're heavy and uncomfortable. The floor is damp. I try to pretend to sleep. At least, I mean, I curl up and close my eyes so I don't have to see the rats scurry by. So I don't have to see the soldiers. It's kind of absurd, really, how many soldiers are here. Four squads of four soldiers, taking turns throughout the night and the day to make sure I'm still here, ready for when the time comes for me to be dragged out before the crowds and executed as well. I start to think about Herod. The strange thing is Herod, the one who now calls himself the King of the Jews, the one that put me into this prison, he's seen death too. He's been here. His father was executed, not with a sword, but strangled to death. Maybe he was too young and he doesn't remember. Maybe that moment made him determined to not go the same way. Herod was sent to Rome, grew up there, grew up to believe that freedom only comes to those with power and money. Lived it up, spent lots of money until he ran out, then had to find more. He was put in prison once, four walls boxing him in. He publicly spoke about wanting his good friend, Caligula, to succeed Tiberius and become the next Caesar, not words a current Caesar wants to hear. I wonder if he flinched when the doors locked him in. I wonder if he was able to sleep at night. But then Tiberius died and he was rewarded by Caligula, proclaimed the new king of the Jews. Maybe that moment didn't stay with him. Erased it from his memory. Put into a box, let it collect dust and forget about it. We like to do that, don't we? Put things into boxes. We like to put God in a cage. If we could, we'd imprison God. Haven't we tried? Tried to strap God down and shut the door? When I was younger, I thought that Yahweh lived in the temple. It was the most beautiful building I had ever seen, and I thought God lived hidden away behind the curtains. I put God in this beautiful box. But then I met Jesus, and he challenged me. From the moment I met him, I started to see God in Jesus. When he healed lepers, the ones nobody wanted to touch, he touched. They were healed. When he spoke about freedom, I could see it, chains breaking, cages opening. When Jesus calmed a storm, I could see it, see the power of God. And then when injustice happened, when they arrested and executed him, it was Passover when it happened. He never fought back, never flinched, but forgave while dying on a Roman cross. Death is the ultimate box, isn't it? Four walls around you, if you're fortunate, or more likely just dirt tossed over you. A place where people forget about you. Sometimes I think the authorities use death as this weapon to kill a movement, kill a king, kill God. But God cannot be contained in a box or a cage or a coffin. Jesus died to set us free, and then Jesus was resurrected. I saw him. I ate with him by the Lake of Galilee. I have seen God's Spirit coming like a wind and spinning me upside down, pushing me out into the crowds of Jerusalem, where I started all of a sudden being able to speak about Jesus, tell his story. And so many wanted to hear about sins being forgiven, hear about the freedom that is found in Jesus. He multiplies all over the place, sleeping out of Jerusalem into Samaria, and I hear now in Antioch churches. Churches springing up and all sorts of people. An Ethiopian eunuch, Saul, a man who tried to lock us up, Cornelius, a Roman commander, the Spirit has blown into their lives and set them free to follow Jesus. Freedom, though, can feel like a threat to some. That's why I'm here in this place. God is escaping their box and they can't catch God, so they catch me instead. They think, if only we can hack away, target the leaders, this nonsense will die. We just have to shut them up, suppress it. Those in power want to determine what we will believe. But they forget. It's the season of Passover once more, and I celebrate here in this jail the God who has set me free. I'm free. I am free to know God in a way I once didn't know. I can pray to God right here in this cage. I can worship in this place, even in chains, and so I do. I pray to my God throughout the night. I pray for release. I pray for more people to experience the freedom I found in Jesus. I pray for this message to continue to go forth, opening cage doors, breaking heavy chains, bringing new life. I pray for those who'll be taken into places like this. I know I'll not be the last one. We follow the crucified Messiah, Jesus. I pray knowing that my brothers and sisters are praying too, and nobody can stop us as we all call out to the one who soars above it all and brings deliverance. Be at work. Let more people see you breaking their chains. As I pray, there is this light exposing the four walls around me, warm and holy light. Something hits the back of my head and I rub the bruise and realize as I do my chains have fallen off. A voice tells me to get up, put on my clothes and sandals. I'm disorientated by the strange light filling this room. Everything moves so slow and then quick like a dream. I'm walking past soldiers, but they do not see me. There is an iron gate before me that somehow swings open. I'm out in the city, and it is late, and the light is gone. Only then do I realize this is not a dream. This is real. I'm free. I hurry to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and knock on the door. I can hear voices behind the door praying. A servant girl, Rhonda, peers out and I let her know it's me, Peter. She hurries away. And I stand there for what feels like a long time. She doesn't come back and I have to start knocking on the door again louder until finally they let me in. Finally they believe it is me. I tell them everything as quick as I can and then it's time for me to leave. I need to get out of the city and continue the work God has called me to do. I'm alive again, born. The weight of sin, oh sweet living. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Saved my life, I'm born. Blood of Christ, I have everything. Oh, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord. There is freedom. I am free. Freedom is part of our story as Christians, and yet it's something we can forget, pack away in a box and let that box collect dust. For a long time, the prison was a familiar place to many Christians. And yet even though four walls boxed them in, they knew God was with them and nobody could take that relationship away. The early Christians wanted people to know the good news and were willing to speak about this new freedom bursting into the world through Jesus Christ. For some, such news was freeing, but for others it threatened the status quo, so they tried to suppress it, use violence to silence it. Many Christians died for speaking about Jesus, and some, like Peter, experienced miraculous release. Freedom is part of our story. And yet over time, as Christianity became the norm, the status quo, it's like we forgot. Sometimes Christians have kind of become like Herod, erased the painful memory of the prison cell and the execution block, erased the joy of coming to faith and knowing Jesus who invites us to freely pray. And instead, some Christians started to imprison and kill those who didn't agree with them, even if it was other Christians. In the 17th century, out of that experience, out of the bloody religious wars in Europe, came Roger Williams. Roger studied law and also served as a Puritan minister who came to the US and spoke about soul liberty, the belief that each person should have freedom of thought, conscience, religion, and belief, and that the government could not dictate what that might be. For too long, he said, rulers have practiced violence against men's souls. It's a quote from him, practiced violence against men's souls. But we should be free to choose and speak according to our conscience. William believed this because he worshipped a God who doesn't want a love that is forced, but is freely given. It was a startling and disturbing idea at the time, and some didn't like it. The Massachusetts Bay authorities banned Roger from their colony, and he was forced to flee just as winter and snow was settling in. He started a town that became the first place in the world to try living out this type of freedom. It wasn't easy, but Roger was convinced that while we can persuade people, tell them about Jesus, we can never force people to trust Jesus for themselves. And the state should have no role in dictating what a person believes. Freedom is part of our story. And yet there are times when we forget, even now. We might be tempted to silence voices we don't like. We might be tempted to put people into boxes. It's so easy to cut people out of our lives. We live in a time when we just cancel those we disagree with. I feel this temptation. In the public square, there are debates about what it means to have free speech and when does that slide into hate speech. And I find social media sometimes to be such a hostile space in which everyone seems so offended and angry and hurt. And I wonder, what does it look like to live together as a society when there are so many different views on how to live and what to believe in, and how do we live with difference? How do we speak into that? These are big questions that we need to wrestle with, and I don't have all the answers. But I think it can begin by remembering the freedom Jesus brings into our lives. You and I, we don't have to be so defensive. We have a freedom that nobody can take away from us. That's what Peter discovered. Even if the worst happens and you end up in a cell with four walls pressing in, God is there and nobody can stop you from speaking to God. Even if you die, God is there on the other side. God is the one who can open up coffins and raise up dead bodies. If that is true, then Christians should be able to listen to other people's beliefs and ideas, even when it might be hard. Even if we are mocked for what we believe, we learn to listen and be slow to anger. We learn to be slow at getting offended. For some of us, this is really hard. It does not at all come naturally, and so we pray for help. As Christians, we can also use our voices to speak up for people whose freedom is denied. We can dare to speak even to those in power because we know Jesus. There are people, brothers and sisters, whose wrists are shackled right now because they dared to speak about Jesus. There are people, brothers and sisters, right now who find themselves in jail because they've dared to speak and call for another way to live because they know Jesus. Lisa Sharon Harper tells the story of how she spent 16 hours in a jail. 16 hours is not a long time, but she found herself in a cell where there were roaches scuttling around, trying to sleep in a 6-inch by 12-inch steel tray. Her crime? Protesting about the death penalty on the steps of the Supreme Court in Washington. She was using her voice, calling for freedom and another way to live, God's way, and she was arrested. She writes, "I was ushered into the bowels of DC's domestic hell. Because I held a sign in protest of the death penalty, singing This Little Light of Mine, I emerged with a new understanding of our justice system. It is not just. When God comes, there is freedom and release. There is hope and everlasting life. How will you use your freedom? How will you use your freedom? May you use the freedom you have to choose to know this God, taking every opportunity to pray. Pray for others to be delivered. May you use the freedom you have to speak about how God has set you free. May you use your words to set others free, to join God in breaking loose unjust chains and opening doors into darkened cells.